Hey, how we doing? How we feeling tonight? Good. Man, I was super bummed. I missed Synergy last week. Missed you guys a ton. But it's because my wife and I got to celebrate 10 years of marriage and went up to Chicago, dropped the grandkids off with the grandparents. And so you guys are great, but my wife is cuter, so I'm sorry. Hey, I love being here tonight. Would you guys pray with me? I just want to offer this time to the Lord as we open up some scripture. And let's do this. Jesus, thanks for being here today. Thanks for going before us. Thanks for bringing this group of people together specifically for tonight, Lord. And as we open up your scripture, Lord, I pray that you just open our eyes, open our ears, open our minds to what you want to teach us tonight, Lord. God, we love you. We want to glorify you in Jesus' name. Amen. Have a lot of back problems. Anybody have a bad back? I did not expect that many people to raise their hands. You're like 20. What is happening? Maybe we need some like CSF yoga or something. I don't know. I've got back problems, and they all started really. It was like playing soccer with some friends, and I just spun around real quick and I just threw my back out, and it was so painful. I'd never hurt my back like that. And honestly, I was like, oh, this is just a fluke. Like, I'm fine. I'm healthy. Like, you know, I played sports growing up. I'm sure it's okay. So I kind of ignored it, honestly. And then a little bit after that, I was a youth pastor at Southland here in town, and we were setting up for a retreat, and we're setting up like 700 chairs. And while I'm setting up these chairs, my back just starts having this like excruciating pain. Like every chair I moved up was just like a needle in my back. I was like, ooh, this isn't good. Like I was like, I don't know what's really going on here. I honestly just thought I need to crack my back. So I got on the ground and started doing the whole, you know, like I just need to crack it and then all the pain will go away. So I ignored it. The next night I get up to preach, and literally I'm standing on stage, and you've seen how I preach. I like to move and walk and everything. I literally couldn't walk. I literally just stood here and just like tried not to move too much from the left to the right because I was in so much pain. And so finally, after this event, I go to the doctor and I'm like, hey, I don't know what's going on. They're like, you might have a slipped disc in your back. Here's a lot of medication, and go to physical therapy like today, okay? And so I went to physical therapy. Guy turned me into a pretzel and was like, and like popped me into place. It was bizarre. It felt great. But there was still so much pain in my back. And I remember he looked at me, he's like, now listen, like you are going to continue to have back problems unless you start doing some things and stop doing some things. So he starts talking to me. He literally lines out my path to healing. And he says, hey, if you want your back to heal, you have to, you need to start coming to physical therapy, like on the regular, so we can retrain and build your back muscles and other muscles that are supposed to be in a different way. He says, you need to do these stretches every night before bed. And then when you stop bending over to pick up your toddlers like this and start bending at the knees. And he said, in that wallet in your back pocket, you need to stop sitting on your wallet because that's throwing your back out, like all this list of things. And I'm like, yeah, totally. Yeah. Cool. Right. And I did it for like a week until I could like walk again. And then I totally forgot everything he said. Like I was like, I'm fine. It's no big deal, whatever. Not too long after that, same thing happens. I'm at work again, setting up chairs. In case you didn't know it, like 50% of doing ministry is just setting chairs up, right? CSF staff, am I right? Yeah. So anyways, we're setting up chairs and same thing, pain in the back. But this time I'm like, oh, I'm going to go take a break. And I'm walking down the church hallway and it's so bad. I just kind of like slowly crumble into the ground and just like lay prostrate on the floor like I'm praying or something. But no, I'm just in pain. And I'm just laying there like I cannot move. Like it's so bad. I cannot move. And people are walking by me. They're like, are you okay? Like, I'm like, no, and I don't know what to do. Eventually, I just kind of like force myself to get up, go to my car. I'm thinking, I'm just going to go home. I'm just going to lie down for a long time and just do that. I barely get to my car. I get in my house. I open the door, close the door, and I just fall on the ground. And literally, I fall in this place. I end up being in this one spot for about 12 hours. because I couldn't move. I was like in just the worst pain I've ever experienced. And let me tell you right now, if you don't think your lower back matters or is important, just wait till you can't move off the floor and you have to pee, okay? Because I didn't anticipate that, and literally I could not get up off the floor and I had to pee, and I'm like, I don't know how I'm gonna do this. I'm like, does Walgreens sell DIY catheters? Like, I don't know. Like, about to send my wife on the weirdest errand ever. But it was just awful, guys. It was so, so bad. And eventually what ended up happening is physical therapist came to my house, worked with me for hours to get me to the point where like I could just get up again. But he said the same thing. Hey, you're gonna continue to have these back problems unless you think. And I literally just had this memory, like, why didn't I listen to that doctor? Why didn't I listen to physical therapy? Why didn't I do the things I knew I needed to do so that I would stop having these problems? Like, I wanted to be healed from this pain, so why didn't I take the steps I needed to actually heal? Now, maybe you don't have old man back problems like me, although probably like half of you do now that I've asked. But maybe, I wonder how many of you can relate to me at least on some level where you've been in some type of pain and the path to healing has been laid out in front of you and you know exactly what you need to do to heal from this pain, to heal from whatever's going on, and you just don't follow it. And you do that, right? I don't know if there's an emotional situation in your life, a relational issue, whatever it is, spiritual thing, whatever you're frustrated about, you know you need to do and you're not doing it. I'm just saying you're not the only one. You're not the only one. A couple weeks ago, we had a little event called Dirty Laundry. Anybody come to that a couple weeks ago? We had 854 college students here, which was 671 turn in their own dirty laundry at the end of the night, where they filled out a card, and hopefully a lot of you guys did this, and dropped it off saying, hey, here are the things from my past that I'm not proud of, or something that I did, or something that was done to me, pain that you're wrestling with daily and you just want freedom from. And so our staff read through every single one of those, and we recorded videos that were coded up anonymously, and hopefully you got to watch yours if you turn those in. But man, I gotta tell you guys, reading through those 671 cards, literally I didn't get past the first one before I started weeping. As I just read out your pain and the things that you've been through and what you think about those things, and it just broke me, like truly broke my heart. And I just want you to know a lot of pain. I mean, we laugh and we have a great time here at CSF, but the reality is like a lot of us are dealing with really heavy things in here. And I want you to know that you're not alone. Some of it, again, is caused by our own choices. Some of the pain is because of choices other people have made. You know, for many of you guys, you wrote down, hey, there's a bondage to some kind of sexual addiction. Maybe it's pornography or hooking up with someone. And many of you acknowledge it's leaving you empty and confused. You know, for some of you, there's an eating disorder that's taking away all of your joy. For others, it's anxiety and depression that are destroying your hope and your mind. And still, for some in this room, your suffering's not because of something you've done, but because someone else abused you. They use their freedom to take yours away. No matter what your story is, I just want us to all acknowledge tonight that we have a desperate need for healing and for freedom. And this isn't just a one-time thing where you experience once and it's done. This is a daily thing where we all need to experience freedom and healing, like a daily choice here at CSF. And this is exactly why we decided to do this series, The Path to Healing, right after Dirty Laundry, because the first step is acknowledging that there's a problem, which we've acknowledged. And we know that the solution is Jesus. We know that through his death and resurrection, we have freedom, but what now? Where do we go from here? Last week, Mike Bro was here. He did a great job, didn't he? He was awesome. He talked about the heart of Jesus and talked about this story when this woman was thrown at Jesus' feet and people were eager to stone her for her sin. And Jesus extended grace and he forgave her and he protected her and he spoke important words of truth to her. So tonight I want to look at the story that Ashton just read where Jesus offers some insight into our path to healing. And so let's just read it again. I really want you to focus on a couple parts of this story back in John 5. So sometime later, Jesus went up to Jerusalem for one of the Jewish festivals. Now there is in Jerusalem near the Sheep Gate, a pool, which in Aramaic is called Bethesda, and which is surrounded by 5 covered colonnades. Here a great number of disabled people used to lie, the blind, the lame, the paralyzed. One who was there had been an invalid for 30. When Jesus saw him lying there and learned that he'd been in this condition for a long time, he asked him, and if you have your Bible open, Underline this, circle this question. This is where we're going to sit tonight. Do you want to get well? Sir, the invalid replied, I have no one to help me into the pool when the water is stirred. While I'm trying to get in, someone else goes down ahead of me. And Jesus said to him, get up, pick up your mat, and walk. At once the man was cured. He picked up his mat and walked. All right, so let's make sure we understand what's happening here. There's a gathering of people at the pool needing healing. Why? Well, some manuscripts of scripture insert in some way or another that an angel of the Lord would come down to this pool and stir the water, and they believe that the first person into the pool after the angel stirred the water would be healed of whatever disease they had. So take a moment and think about being someone who needed healing, and you're surrounded by other people who need healing, and you're just waiting around, just hoping that you'll catch a glimpse of the water moving and be quick enough to get in before anybody else. The competition, the shoving, the pushing. I mean, it'd be really hard to think about anyone else's needs in that environment. And here lies this man who's been an invalid for 38 years. Let that sink in. A lot of you guys in this room are 19 years old. That's your life times two. You know, who knows how many of those 38 years this man just lied next to the pool, just hoping for healing, hoping for hope. And then Jesus shows up and asks what seems to be the most obvious question of all time. Hey, do you want to get well? Like you sometimes, in some translations, do you want to be healed? I think you read that, and there's part of you that doesn't want to blaspheme, but you want to yell at Jesus like, duh. Like, of course he wants to get healed. Of course he wants to get well. Why would you ask that question? That's so rude. Like, I don't know why you'd ask that, right? But then we read the man's response. And the man doesn't even answer Jesus' question. It's a simple question. Do you want to get well? And he doesn't answer. He starts making excuses for why he isn't healed. Oh, I can't get over there in time. Nobody helps me. He never actually says, yes, Jesus, I want to be healed. So it begs the question. Does this man want to be healed? Is it possible that he can't imagine a different life? Is it possible that he's found some kind of identity in being the invalid? He can't imagine doing anything else. And so maybe there's a part of him that doesn't want to be well. Regardless of his answer, Jesus still, in his grace and love, looked at him and said, get up and walked. And he did, because the power of Jesus was greater than the man's condition. It was greater than his excuses, greater than anything else. The power of Jesus was greater. Jesus wasn't intimidated by his sickness. He wasn't distracted by his inability or his excuses. He simply loved the man and he healed him. You know, oftentimes I read stories like this in the Gospels of Jesus interacting with people, and I just kind of smile and think, they're not just doing this historical account of this random guy that lived 2,000 years ago. Like, there's a purpose for this exact story in this exact moment that we're supposed to draw something from. And I think the author of this, John knew, and God knew, writing through John, that we are more like this man than we'd like to admit. I think Jesus sees us in our pain and in our dirty laundry, and he asks us the same question that he asked the invalid man. Do you want to get well? Do you want to be healed? It's an important question. While I was researching this scripture, I came upon this professional Christian counselor's perspective on this story. And they said, she said when she's counseling someone, there's three types of people in the counseling room. The number one, you get the yes people. Like, when asked this question from Jesus, do you want to get well? There's a wholehearted yes. I'm in counseling because I want to be healed and I believe Jesus can do it. Because belief is just as important as wanting that healing. Do you believe that Jesus has the power to heal you, to make you well? We see Jesus respond in all parts of the gospel where someone shows incredible faith that is beyond our understanding, and Jesus says, wow, that's faith, and then he chooses to heal them. So you got the yes people. The second type of person that they'll see in the counseling room is the I don't know people. They're usually silent for a minute or two after being asked this question, do you want to get well? Because they have to weigh their answer according to, what's the cost going to be? What's my responsibility? How hard is it going to be? And the list goes on. I don't know. And then the third type of person in the counseling room is the I don't deserve it people. These people step into the role of God and they judge themselves using their veto power to reject the work that Jesus has already done on the cross. And even though the Bible says we're healed by his stripes from the cross, this group of people doesn't understand this important and fundamental concept of the gospel, that Jesus gave his life to forgive you and free you from all sin and all oppression. I remember reading one of the dirty laundry cards that was turned in, and one of you just shared, man, I've made all these mistakes, and here's all the ways I've failed. And I simply, it said verbatim, I cannot accept the fact that God would forgive me for these things. And guys, that just broke my heart. Because it's like Jesus came in and unlocked these chains, and then instead of dropping the chains, we decided to hold on to them anyways. Like punishing ourselves is what we deserve. But when Jesus died on the cross, he said, it's finished. You can't rewind the tape and play out a different ending. He said, it's done. It is over. Your sin is forgiven. So first, we need to have an honest conversation about whatever's going on in your life, whatever you feel like you need healing and freedom from. Do you want it or not? Do you really want that healing? Because there's no point talking about the path to healing if deep down you are just content to be stuck where you are. I think there's more of us in this room that are in that I don't know category than we're willing to admit. For instance, but you insist on little things like keeping your phone next to your bed at night or staying up alone on your laptop after roommates all go to bed. I have to ask you, how badly do you want to be healed? Are you willing to do whatever it takes? Now, I'm not saying this to shame anybody in this room because the Lord knows I've been here in this situation. Our flesh is strong, but do you believe that the Holy Spirit lives inside of you? And as Ephesians 1 says, tells us the power that raised Christ from the dead, it lives inside of us as the Holy Spirit. If God's power can raise Jesus from the dead, the Holy Spirit inside of you can defeat a porn addiction too, right? So if that power is inside of you, are you willing to embrace that and let God start to heal you? See, grace is opposed to earning, but it is not opposed to effort. And what I mean by that is we can't earn God's love or forgiveness because he offers it to us freely. There's nothing you can do more or less to get more or less of his love. God just loves you freely. But it doesn't mean that we sit back as passive participants in this life and just say, okay, God's gonna do all the work or this. God wants to partner with us in our healing. In fact, he gave us free will to make decisions daily to embrace that love. So what daily decisions are you going to make to show that you are ready for your healing? And I don't want this to come off as harsh. I just want to be really honest. Many of us, not all of us, are the invalid man. We wait by the pool, hoping that, hey, one day I'm just going to be healed. It's just going to come. I'm going to make minimal effort, just drop myself in the pool, and everything will be easy and everything will be great one day. But see, and you see the man, he wasn't seeking Jesus. Jesus sought out this man. He said, man, I love this guy, and I want to bring healing. I don't know if he's ready for it or not, but I'm going to bring healing to him right now. And so Jesus, again, wants us to participate in the healing process. Now, going back to my old man back problems, there were three clear mistakes. I look back, three clear mistakes that I made when I was hurting. Number one, I just figured, oh, this is a fluke. This isn't anything. Whatever. Brush it off. Not a big deal. I didn't take it seriously. Number two, I tried to self-diagnose. How many of you have been on WebMD this year? Anybody? Come on now. We love that. That's a terrible site. They should never, honestly, like, it's just, like, I coughed and now I'm, like, dying, right? So we love to self-diagnose. And that's what I did. I said, my back's just tight. I need to crack it and then I'll be fine, right? So I didn't take my injury seriously. I tried to self-diagnose. And then number three is I ignored the doctor's advice. I didn't go back to physical therapy. I kept lifting things with my back. I didn't stretch before bed. I didn't stretch when I woke up. And I found myself in the same uncomfortable, painful situation as before. I don't know if you can relate to me, but I'm somehow both way too confident in my own ability and also terrible at following through. It's a recipe for disaster. I think, oh, I can take care of any problem that comes my way because I'm obviously so strong. I'm so smart. I'm so capable. I'm so awesome. And then 5 minutes later, I'm distracted and scrolling through my phone, right? So here's a few things that I've learned about how to heal. And I'm still learning. I'm still journeying with you guys. But here's a few things I've learned about how to heal both through my back problems and other internal struggles. So how to heal? Number one, acknowledge the problem exists, right? We're never going to heal unless we acknowledge that there is a problem. You cannot defeat what you cannot define. So acknowledge there's a problem. Many of you guys did this 2 weeks ago. You wrote something down and said, hey, I'm going to define the thing that I need to defeat. And so I'm going to say this and I'm going to extend it out there. That's number one, acknowledge the problem exists. Number two, diagnose the problem correctly, right? If you don't diagnose the problem correctly, you might end up treating the symptoms instead of the thing beneath the thing. I'll give you a personal example of this. There was a season where every night I would come home and I'd feed my dogs and they'd start running outside and they were just barking like crazy. And I got so angry at my dogs for barking outside. Oh, they're barking at squirrels, whatever. Just barking. And I would just yell at them to stop barking, just really like losing my cool about my dogs barking outside. And finally, my wife's like, what is your deal? I was like, what's my deal? The deal is the dogs barking outside. That's my deal. And she's like, you're mad at the dogs for being dogs? And I was like, well, that's not fair. I mean, they shouldn't be barking like dogs. She's like, dogs bark. So like, what's actually upsetting you? And I was like, I guess I'd never assumed that there was something underneath this, right? And so then I actually started doing the probing work of like, yeah, like, why am I getting mad at my dogs for barking outside? It's like the most like animal thing they could do, but I was so mad. And so I started digging in, I started talking to her, and as I started to debrief with her, I started to realize like, you know what, actually, there's this situation with this person today, and I'm really frustrated. This conversation ended the way I didn't want to, and we never resolved it, and so I'm really frustrated about this. And then I'd start doing that thing where you start to have imaginary conversations with the person you're frustrated with, you know, when you start playing out these conversations that never happened, but in your head they did happen, so you start to get more angry. And so I just kept in this cycle of like, I'm frustrated, and then I'm playing out these imaginary situations. I'm frustrated. And the only place I know to like, show this anger is that my dog's barking. And there's a thing beneath the thing, right? And so thankfully, I had my wife there to say, hey, let's diagnose the real problem here. There's something else going on. So I have to ask you, what does this look like for you? How do you cope with stressful situations? Maybe your actual issue isn't a conflict with this person. Maybe there's something else going on and you're taking it out on this person. Maybe your issue isn't A, but it's B, C, and D, and it's showing itself with this A response, right? So what are the unhealthy ways that you cope with stress, with frustration, with your anger that maybe you need to dig a little deeper and figure out what's the thing beneath the thing so you can diagnose the problem and not treat the symptoms, but the real thing that's going on, right? Number three, how to heal. Get outside help, right? So for me, like my back, I didn't know what was going on. Finally, I went to a doctor, I went to physical therapist, like, you gotta help me. I don't know what to do, right? In the situation I was talking about with my dogs, I needed a third party, someone with clarity of mind, my wife, to help me see things and see past all the emotional blockade I had set up. We need community in our lives to help us see things clearly. And then you have to commit to not being defensive, right? When you open up to your roommate, your best friend, maybe your core group here, your shift group or whatever, and someone calls something out on you, to resist the temptation to be defensive and get in that posture where you get your fists up, right? To receive and take a moment to pray and reflect like, hey, Lord, are you trying to teach me something here? Is there something I need to evaluate, right? In other situations in my life, like I've had a pretty serious struggle with anxiety that's caused when my kids are sick, because both my kids had significant seasons where they were in the hospital with serious illnesses. And so when they get sick, it kind of triggers some stuff inside of me. And I start to play out these scenarios and thinking, oh, we're going back to the hospital. And so I have crazy anxiety when it comes to that. And so eventually I was like, I'm so sick and tired of this. I need to talk to someone. And so I ended up going to finding a great Christian counselor here in town and working with him and talking about these things. And he helped give me some tools that the Lord gives us to resolve these moments of anxiety. And he helped me dig through some of the lies that I was believing and things that are just untrue and how to actually deal in the moments of intensity and anxiety. So sometimes it's just the healthy thing the Lord gives us to get outside help. Now, that process was and is still very painful. Healing can be very painful, which sounds counterintuitive, but it's so stinking true, because growth and comfort never coexist. Growth and comfort can't coexist in the same space. You're either going to grow or you're going to be comfortable. You got to choose one. Growth and comfort can't coexist. It is hard to put your mind under the microscope and expose all the cobwebs in your brain. Now, I've mentioned this before on this stage, but since we're talking about healing, I want to remind you that neuroscience has confirmed biologically what many of us know to be true, that the more you think a thought, the easier it becomes to think that thought again. Let me say it again. The more you think a thought, the easier it becomes to think that thought again. Your brain rewires your neural pathways to go to the same place over and over and over because it's easier, right? It's like imagine a hiking trail that gets hiked on several times. Eventually, it becomes clearer, like the leaves are torn up, the twigs are gone, and it's just an easy path. We're like, okay, this is the trail I need to go on every time I'm hiking. Your brain works the same way. So part of your path to healing, maybe picking up a shovel and working with the Holy Spirit to dig up some new trails, some new neural pathways to rewire your brain. For example, if you've taught yourself to think, I'll be more loved if I eat less, and you've thought that thought over and over and over for years, of course, God can heal you in a moment, but the reality is your path to healing may take longer so that you can rewire your brain and work with the Holy Spirit to change the way that you think. Scripture teaches us this concept in multiple places. 2 Corinthians 10, 4 through 5. I love these verses. It says, for the weapons of our warfare are not of the flesh, but have divine power to destroy strongholds. We destroy arguments and every lofty opinion raised against the knowledge of God and take every thought captive to obey Christ. You need to underline that. Take every thought captive. That language right there, it's very aggressive, it's assertive, it's active posture. It's not, hey, I'm gonna sit by the pool and hope an angel stirs the water posture, right? Like Jesus wants us to participate in our own healing process. Romans 12 confirms it again. It says in verse 1 and 2, I appeal to you therefore, brothers, by the mercies of God to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by what? The renewal of testing, you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. So be transformed, as in your mind has been formed by evil lies. So now we allow God to transform our minds, renewing them with a focus on Christ and be formed around him. We transform these neural pathways and we dig up new trails. Guys, the difference between where you are and where you could be may be the pain you are unwilling to endure. The difference between where you are right now and where you could be may be the pain that you are unwilling to endure, because the healing process can be painful, but it's so worth it. It takes us to the place where we want to be. So to close tonight, guys, I just want to end with this really important point that is absolutely imperative, that you believe Jesus can and desires to heal you. See, Jesus heals in many ways, including instantaneously, in a process, and when we see him face to face. He may choose to heal you instantly. Like you pray and just, you know, ask God to heal you. He may do that, like he did with this man. Or he may heal you in a process with your community, maybe with a Christian counselor over a span of many years. But one thing you know for sure is that he'll definitely heal you when you see him face to face. The end of your Bible in the book of Revelation says, at the end of time, when there is a new heavens and a new earth, Christ will wipe away every tear from your eyes. There will be no more pain, no more sorrow, no more weeping, okay? Because never, ever forget that this life, it feels final, but this is our temporary home. We are not citizens of earth. We are citizens of heaven. So remember, this is not the finish line. This is part of the journey, but this is going to be like a blink of an eye compared to eternity. So remember, your healing is coming. It might be instant, it might be in a process, and it might be when you see Jesus face to face, but your healing is coming. We are free to live under his power and authority, and one day we will be fully healed. So Jesus has called us to live an abundant life here on earth and live out that calling to tell as many people, so many people outside of this place that don't know that their healing is coming, that they've given up. They said, this life is terrible. These trials are too much. They don't know that there is hope and healing is coming. And so our role here as we are healing is to invite others into that healing process as well and show the path to healing. It won't be easy, and oftentimes it'll be painful, but every time it's worth it. We're going to continue worship tonight, guys. And as always, I want to invite you. We have a prayer team here every single week. And they're going to be right out here in the breezeway. If you go, just go out these doors, we've got prayer team members that would love to pray with you, especially when it comes to this. Man, more prayer and asking the Lord for more healing, more freedom is always a good thing. So if you just need to talk to someone, say, hey, can you just lift this thing up? Man, that's where you experience healing. James 5 says the prayers of a righteous person are powerful and effective. So if we believe that, if we believe our Bibles, I think we pray a little bit more. So I'm going to pray for you guys. And then again, as we worship, if you want to head out, pray with the prayer team. They would love to pray with you. They'll probably take you in the house so you don't have to sit outside in the freezing cold. But let's continue, Lord. God, thank you so much again for bringing this group of people together tonight. There's a lot of pain in this room. There's a lot of pain. There's a lot of heartache. There's a lot of confusion. There's a lot of sadness. And Lord, we just want to say yes to the freedom that you offer us. Lord, we don't have to be subject to the enemy's attempts to control us, because you already defeated sin. You defeated death when you died on the cross and you rose from the grave, Lord. And so we want to live in the power of the resurrection. As Ephesians 1 says, the power that raised Christ from the dead lives inside of us. And because of that, we have hope. Because of that, we have joy. So we don't have to live in shackles anymore. We don't have to remain in pain. We don't have to remain imprisoned. We want to be healed. Lord, please heal us. Lord, heal us from our anxiety and our depression. Heal us from our addictions. Heal us from the pain that was caused by someone else abusing their freedom to take it away from us. Lord, bring us freedom. Bring us hope. Bring us light. Lord, help us remember, like, this: our healing does not depend on us, but we are active participants with the Holy Spirit to bring the healing that you offer, Lord. So God, let us confidently go to the throne of grace. Love you, Jesus. Thank you for your Holy Spirit. Thank you that you sent the counselor, the advocate, to intercede on our behalf. Lord, be near. Help us bring healing, bring freedom. In Jesus' name, amen.